Good morning and welcome to the Health Matters Radio Show. It's Monday, it's the 10th of December 2018. My name's Neil De Silva and we have a great show ahead of you this morning. On today's show, we're going to continue the discussion we had a couple of weeks ago about alcohol and the party season and some myths surrounding alcohol, and also we're going to touch on drinking and driving as well. Towards the end of the show, we're going to cover the benefits of apple cider vinegar. And I'm sure you may have heard of apple cider vinegar, but maybe not quite aware of just how good it is for your body. And we have a special guest interview in the middle. Today we have Karen Jones from Happy You, Happy Body. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning. Woohoo!
And how are you this morning?
I'm really good, thank you.
Well, it's great to have you on the show. And actually, you are back for a second time.
I am.
You came on the show back in August, and we're going to follow your journey a bit later on in the show, and you're going to update us as to some recent developments in your life.
Yes.
So quite looking forward to that.
Cool.
And we have songs today from Billy Joel and Pharrell Williams. So before we kick the show off, a quick disclaimer. The purpose of the Health Matters Radio Show is to provide you with competent information on the subject matters covered to help educate and inform you in ways that you can improve your own health. However, this is on the understanding that I am not engaged in providing medical advice, and the content in the show should not be treated as a substitute for such. If you have any concerns about your general health or you require medical or other expert assistance, please speak to a suitably qualified healthcare professional, which in many cases can be obtained by dialing 111 first or speaking with your local pharmacist. All content is provided for general information only, and I encourage you to do your own research on the topics we discuss. And the show is based on my knowledge, my research, my experience, and often my opinion, and I disclaim any liability that is incurred from the use of or application of the content of the show. If you'd like a shout out this morning on the show, then please tweet in or go to the show's Facebook page. On Twitter, you can find the show's feed at Health Radio Show. On Facebook, if you search the Health Matters Radio Show, you can find the Facebook page, and you can listen again to this show and all previous shows on the media page of my website, which is www.i-nutrition.co.uk, and you can also find the show's podcast if you go to iTunes and search the Health Matters Radio Show. So, unless you live under a rock, you'll probably be aware that Christmas is fast approaching. And yes, it is the party season. Yes, it is a time where we like to indulge in food and in drink, and why not? But it's worth bearing in mind, particularly if you're going to go out partying and you're going to drink alcohol, you need to bear in mind some facts about how alcohol acts on the body, and some myths that are going around at the moment that particularly relate to being pulled over by the police and how we can try to fool breathalyzers. So we're going to go through those in a moment. But one of the things to bear in mind, that if you're going to be driving the day after the night before, so you go out on a Friday night, for example, you have a really heavy session, you go to bed Friday night, Saturday morning, you wake up and you go to work or you go shopping, you may feel okay, but depending on how much you've drunk, you may actually still be over the drink drive limit. Now, there's a lot that comes into factor here. So things like your weight, your sex, your age, your metabolism, the food that you've eaten, the drink that you've drunk, the type and the strength of the alcohol. If you're taking medication, there's lots of variables. But if you take an average of one unit of alcohol per hour, that's normally a pretty good indication of how long the alcohol will take to get out of your system. So if an average bottle of wine is about 10 units, 9 to 10 units, then actually it's going to take 9 to 10 units before the alcohol is cleared from your system. Now, bear in mind that the drink drive limits in England, Wales and Northern Ireland are quite low. I think it's 35 milligrams per 100 millilitres of breath. Or 80 milligrams of alcohol in 100 millilitres of blood. It doesn't take a lot to actually go over the drink drive limit. So a single measure of spirits is only one unit. A strong lager is three units. A standard lager is 2 units and a small glass of wine is about 1.5 units. So you don't actually need to drink much to be over the drink drive limit. And my caveat here is don't drink and drive, okay? It's not worth it. Even if you're not over the limit, but you've got alcohol in your system and you have an accident or you have an incident and the police think that the alcohol in your system played a part in it, you can still be prosecuted. So the takeaway is don't drink and drive, okay? But if you are going to have a drink the night before, you need to be really cautious what you do the following morning. So as I mentioned, there's no hard and fast rule. There's a lot of factors that come into play, but generally 1 unit per hour is a good rule of thumb. And the problem is if you have a cup of coffee when you wake up the morning after the night before, or you have a particularly strong metabolism, or you're used to drinking alcohol, then you actually may feel okay to drive. But the alcohol will still be in your system. And there is no way to get alcohol out of your system apart from time. So a cup of coffee might make you feel alert, but it doesn't sober you up and it doesn't remove alcohol any quicker from your body. So as I mentioned, the legal limits in the UK, or so England, Wales and Northern Ireland, is 35 milligrams per 100 millilitres of breath and 80 milligrams per 100 millilitres of blood. So it really doesn't take a lot. I must stress, it doesn't take a lot to put you over the legal drink drive limit. And the penalties of being in charge of a vehicle while above the legal limit or being unfit to drive. Now, there is a charge called drunk in charge. So you can actually be over the limit and you might say to yourself, well, I'm going to sleep it off in the car. If you go and sit in your car or sleep in your car, you can be charged with being drunk in charge. And a lot of people don't realise this. And it doesn't matter whether you're on the front seat or the back seat or the passenger seat or the driver's seat. It doesn't make a difference. If you're in your car and you're over the limit, the police could charge you with being drunk in charge. And the penalties for that are 3 months imprisonment, up to £2,500 fine, or 10 points on your licence. So that is actually worth bearing in mind. Then we come to more serious charges. So if you're driving a vehicle while you're over the legal limit, it can give you up to 6 months imprisonment, an unlimited fine, and a ban for at least 1 year. And then we come on to the really serious stuff. If you cause death by dangerous driving whilst above the legal limit or being unfit to drive, then you can face up to 14 years imprisonment, an unlimited fine and a ban for at least 2 years. So it really isn't worth the risk. But as I said, the major takeaway there is, yes, we know that if we're over the limit, we're breaking the law. But you can actually be in charge of a vehicle as stationary, asleep on the back seat, and you can actually be charged with that. So don't take the risk. So when we look at the health issues surrounding excessive alcohol consumption, and interestingly, we're going to touch on alcohol during Karen's interview, so looking forward to that. So there's a good link up here between my part and Karen's part. But some of the long-term effects of excessive alcohol consumption can include things like dehydration, skin problems, and normally you can see someone who's got a drink problem because they'll be very flushed, particularly around the cheeks. You can get bloated belly, bloated face. It adds to weight gain. It affects the pancreas. So there's a condition called pancreatitis. It can contribute big time to liver disease, certain types of cancer. So bowel cancer, breast cancer, oral cancer, big contributor to type 2 diabetes, heart disease, infertility, mental health issues, depression, and of course, addiction. So if you go out and you have your drink now and again and you're in control and you're not dependent on alcohol or you're not an alcoholic, then there are studies that suggest that a little bit of alcohol can be actually quite beneficial to the health. The problem is lots of people drink more than just a little bit. Occasionally, they drink quite a lot on a regular basis, and that obviously leads to health issues. So here's some myths about alcohol consumption. Now, the first one I've kind of touched on, if you have one alcoholic drink per hour, you can still drive home. Yes, the body will process about 1 unit per hour. So, you know, for a typical 160-pound man, that would translate into 7 grams of alcohol in an hour. But often people will drink more than one unit. So just don't take the risk. Don't drink and drive. It's just not worth, it's not worth the risk getting caught and getting charged, but also the consequences of having an accident, you know, you have an accident killing yourself or injuring or killing someone else. It just is not worth the risk. Another myth is you can sober up quickly if you have to. And as I mentioned, nothing speeds up this process apart from time. There's nothing. Caffeine can't do it. And actually, caffeine can do you more harm than good because it's a stimulant. It can make you feel more awake and it can give you a false degree of confidence. But the alcohol is in your system and you are still just as much impaired as if you didn't have the coffee. And the problem with that is that will give you that this false degree of confidence that will possibly lead you to taking more riskier behaviours and also making more dangerous decisions. Another myth is you can trigger breathalyzer. So if you, there's some really bizarre ones out there, like sucking on pennies will fool the breathalyzer. But the more common ones are eating mints, chewing gum, drinking lots and lots of water. Breathalyzers are very advanced these days and they can't be fooled. So please don't take on board that myth. You cannot fool a breathalyzer. And as I mentioned, the only thing that will get rid of alcohol out of your bloodstream is time. So here's some quick tips about drinking during the party season. This isn't necessarily related to driving, but these are just good housekeeping tips and good health tips if you're going to go out and drink over the party season. So don't go to a party on an empty stomach. And if you do, make sure that you eat before you start drinking alcohol. Know your limits and set an absolute maximum that you are prepared to drink and stick to it. Pace yourself and don't drink more than one alcoholic drink per hour. Drink a large glass of water between each alcoholic drink. A one-to-one ratio of water to alcohol is actually really good because it helps to prevent dehydration. But as I mentioned, the water won't offset the fact that the alcohol is in your system. Drink a large glass of water before going to bed. That often helps to prevent or to reduce the risk of hangover. Don't drink and drive at all. There is no safe limit and the penalties are pretty stiff if you get caught. If you are going out partying, appoint a designated driver who won't drink alcohol, who will get you home safely, or make other arrangements. So either get a cab, use public transport, or maybe stay over at the location that you're partying in. And to be safe, if you've had alcohol the night before, just don't drive at all the following day, because that alcohol may still be in your system. As I mentioned, you may feel okay, but if the alcohol is in your system, and this is the reason why police are around in the mornings as well as during the night, because they are catching people who are inadvertently over the drink drive limit the following day. So hopefully you've found that information useful. There's lots of other information you can get at the drinkaware.co.uk website. But hopefully you'll find that information useful. And the takeaway is don't drink and drive. And the only thing that will get rid of alcohol out of your system is time. So before we go on to our guest interview this morning, we're going to play a quick song. And it's a song that Karen has asked me to play this morning. So Karen, would you like to introduce the song and tell us why you've picked this song?
Okay, so Happy by Pharrell Williams, and it's because it just, thinking about the song makes me feel happy personally. And also in the words of the lyrics of the song, it says, because I'm happy. And you're making that affirmation to yourself that you're already happy, because words become things and your body won't go where your mind doesn't take it. So if you've already proclaimed that you're happy, that's exactly what you're going to be.
Super. Thank you, Karen.
Thanks.
You're listening to the Health Matters Radio Show with me, Neil De Silva, and my guest on the show today is Karen Jones. So if you'd like to get in contact with the show, the show's Twitter feed is at Health Radio Show. The Facebook page is The Health Matters Radio Show. And you can listen again to this show and all previous shows at the media page of my website, which is www.i-nutrition.co.uk, or on iTunes. If you search The Health Matters Radio Show, you will find the show's podcast there. So we have a few shout-outs this morning. The first one is from Victoria Sheridan from The Secret Calm. Victoria is a rejuvenation coach, and she shows you how to stress less, to age well, and to be healthy and happy. If you want to learn how to relax, replenish, and rejuvenate your life, contact Victoria. Her website is www.thesecretcalm.com. And you can find Victoria on her Facebook page if you search The Secret Calm. And a message on Facebook from Katrina Festerazzi. Good morning, Katrina. Katrina wishes everyone a Merry Christmas, and her company is Fast to Photo. That's F-A-S-T, the number 2, and F-O-T-O, fasterphoto.co.uk. She runs a photography business and a videography business in Medway, and she offers business owners some amazing, she's offering business owners some amazing deals in the new year. So if you're thinking of rebranding or giving your website or marketing material a refresh, then give Katrina a call. Her website, as I mentioned, is www.fast2photo.co.uk. Colleen, hi Colleen. Colleen's been on the show before, and she's coming actually on the show in January. Colleen Rawlins is from Fernleaf Hypnotherapy. She's given a free talk on hypnotherapy and the benefits of essential oils and how they can work together. And she'll also be giving a live demonstration during the talk as well. It's on Thursday, the 31st of January 2019, from 6:30 p.m. at the Maidstone Community Support Centre. So if you'd like to contact Colleen, you can find her on Facebook, and if you search Fernleaf Hypnotherapy, then you'll be able to get Colleen's details there. And Kate Miles, I met Kate at a networking event on the Romney Marsh last week, and Kate's a cranial osteopath and stress consultant. So she runs a multidisciplinary healthcare practice called the Romney Marsh Osteopaths, and they are located, as you would think, in New Romney. She also offers talking therapies, podiatry, physiotherapy, acupuncture, massage, reflexology, Reiki, and That's the one. So if you'd like to contact Kay, her website is www.romneymarshosteopaths.co.uk. And she's also running a free private Facebook group called the RMO Stress and Anxiety Support Group, which is all about learning how to make healthy lifestyle changes, plus dietary advice and self-help techniques. So if you'd like to search the Romney Marsh Osteopaths Stress and Anxiety Support Group, you can join Kate's group that she set up recently and be part of that community. Okay, so going on to our special guest interview this morning. As I mentioned this morning, we have Karen Jones, and Karen came on the show back in August this year, and we said at the time that it'd be really great to have her back because she was about to embark on another chapter of her life, and she's back today. So we're going to find out more about what's been happening with Karen in her life over the last few months. Good morning, Karen.
Hi.
It's really good to have you back on the show.
It's lovely to be back.
And as I mentioned, I think you're the first guest to come back a second time, so it is great to have you back on. So obviously I didn't scare you off too much first time around.
You definitely didn't.
So we've done the introduction in as much as we've covered what you do back in your interview in August.
Yeah.
If you'd like to go over some of that, you're more than welcome to. Perhaps give a quick introduction as to what it is that you do for a living, how you help people, and then we'll talk more about your personal journey.
Okay, well, I'm a PT, so I'm a personal trainer, but I like to call myself more of a fitness trainer. I teach clients one-to-one. I also do group boot camp training, also power yoga. I specialise in home fitness training. After taking part in a bikini fitness contest 3 years ago at the age of 47, I home trained. I didn't touch a gym to get my body contest ready. I wanted to prove that you do not need a gym to get a good body and that you can have a good body at any given age. And that age is not a restriction to looking good and feeling great. So I've also written a book, my Happy You, Happy Body book, which is 6 easy steps to creating your happy body. I'm a public speaker and I spread the fitness word. I'm just fitness orientated, fitness crazy, and it's my passion, and I've managed to build an amazing career around that.
Fantastic. Really good to hear. And I'm a great believer in all the things that you stand for. So let's talk about your personal journey. So we're going to talk openly about your experiences with depression and with alcohol, which are two conditions that lots of people struggle with and struggle with it often very secretly and very quietly.
Yeah,
I don't like to talk about it. So hopefully we'll break the stigmas.
Yeah,
we'll break some of these walls down over the next 15, 20 minutes and perhaps encourage people to be more open with those problems that they're facing.
Yeah, talk about it.
So when did you suffer from depression and how did you overcome it?
At the age of 37, after my last child was born, I suffered from postnatal depression. I had a health visitor come to my home and she said to me, after a series of questions, that I had one of two choices, that I could either go and see my doctor and be prescribed antidepressants, or I could take up exercise, as this was known to help. I thought about it for a little while and came up with why not try the more natural remedy first. I didn't live close to a gym at the time and I decided that what would be the best thing to do that was on my doorstep, and the answer that came back to me was running. So I took up running and I started, you know, quite slow, just building up over time. And before I knew it, I'd got myself quite comfortably to about half an hour of running. But around this time, I lost a grandparent to cancer, another grandparent's cancer. And I needed to turn the negative feelings, because I could feel myself getting down again, into a positive. So I picked up a marathon magazine that said, if you can run comfortably now for half an hour, you're capable of running the marathon in like about 7 months' time. So I said to myself, I can do that, and I can run for a cancer charity, and I can turn these negative feelings I've got into a positive, run in my granddad's memory and raise money to cancer, because I want them to find a cure that takes away our loved ones before their time. So that was very much prevalent. But I didn't realise that running would bring so much more to my life. For the first time in my life, I discovered that with a healthy combination of eating and exercise, it was the only thing that ever worked for me long term to lose weight and to keep it off. And I very much stayed the same weight, more or less, for the last 13 years. I ran the marathon in 2006.
And most people, I mean, just getting out of the house and running for most people is quite a daunting thought. But you don't need to jump straight into it and go running for miles and miles and miles. It could be a quick jog around the block.
Yeah, and I started with literally 1 minute of running. I ran for a minute and then I walked. And then I ran for another minute and then I walked. And then before I knew it, I was running for 5 minutes and walking less. So you increase your running time and decrease your resting time.
Yeah.
But even a walk in the fresh air is enough to change your mindset.
Definitely, definitely. So how long ago was that you started taking up running?
Well, the marathon was 2006, so it was kind of like the year before that I suffered from the postnatal depression.
Okay.
And so it took me, I would say it took probably about 3 to 4 months before my mood started changing, before I really felt the benefits of it. I was also kind of, the time that the health visitor came to my house was in the January time. But I just literally come back from Australia for a month, because I was thinking, am I suffering from the winter blues?
Mm.
But it wasn't that. It was more than that. So because I'd just been in the sunshine for more or less a whole month, I knew that it was more than that. And I hadn't suffered from postnatal depression with my last two children. So it was quite, you know, I was when the health visitor said to me, you know, I think that you're suffering from postnatal depression. So, yeah, and I'm just so glad that I went down the more natural route of, you know, and that she gave me that option, because I've heard that many people don't get that option or get told that actually exercise can help with depression.
Yeah, they just put on drugs and...
antidepressants.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And 60% of people who go on to antidepressants, the side effects is weight gain.
Yeah.
So not only...
Which then adds to the...
Yeah. And you're going to stay in that
depression
cycle.
And, yeah. And it's quite interesting as well, because your principle of walking a bit, running a bit, walking a bit, running a bit, and then gradually increasing the running and reducing the walking is the principle of the Couch to 5K app. But, you know, back when you did it, it was long before the app was probably even thought about.
Yeah.
So if anyone out there is actually looking or thinking about taking up running, the Couch to 5K app is actually really good. And it's quite good to have that support in your ear if you actually want a bit of encouragement to keep it up. But...
yeah, just it is. It's dedication to a cause that you know is going to help you in the long run. And before you know it, you're because you feel the benefits of it, it's like you might not look forward to actually going out, especially when it's not a particularly nice day. Mm. But once you feel the benefits on your return from that run, you'll be so proud of yourself for even just doing it.
Yeah, it's quite an achievement and it's very empowering, isn't it?
Massively empowering. I mean, I didn't realise from doing all of that that I would have the strength to leave my unhappy marriage. You know, my ex-husband very much had a drink problem, and I was in a toxic relationship and an emotionally abusive marriage that I needed to get out of, and I was kind of staying for the sake of my children. But I didn't realise that actually, and I've read up on it, that you should get your children out of those unhappy relationships, like toxic relationships. So it gave me the strength to be able to leave my marriage.
Yeah.
For my own sanity and for the sake of my children.
Sake of your children.
Definitely.
Yeah. So we mentioned obviously alcohol. I understand that you've given up alcohol for a year, which began 3 months ago. So that must have been shortly after you was on the show. So you was on the show back in August. And you can actually listen to Karen's interview if you go to the, as I say, the media page of my website or the iTunes podcast. You can listen to Karen's interview then. But if you've given up three months ago, that must have been end of August, start of September?
Yeah, I think what happened was one of my ex-clients died from alcoholism. Mm-hmm. So there was a strong link between the reason she died and because of heavy drinking. And I wanted to do it in her memory. It made me really sad to lose that client, a friend, really. She was a friend. And then also I recognised that one of my children was... drinking really heavily, and I really wanted to help them, and I knew that their drinking was because of learnt behaviour from one parent, and I needed to very much show them as another parent that that's not how you handle stress and not how you handle life, is by burying your head in the sand or drinking alcohol. That very much can change your behaviour. It doesn't get rid of stress, it adds to stress.
Definitely, because alcohol is a known depressant, isn't it?
Yeah, and it says it all.
And it doesn't make the problems go away.
No.
You might think it does in the short term, but often it makes the problems worse.
Yeah, and you've still got to come back to those problems. So better to have a clear head to be able to deal with the problems than to mask them for a short amount of time that only comes back to bite you on the bum.
So the decision to give up alcohol, how difficult was that?
Easy, because of my children. Mm-hmm. I just said that if I can give up for a year, I want to prove that it will make my life better, not worse. And then also that I wanted, you know, my child to be able to see that once you make a strong decision to give up something that's having a negative impact on your life and the people around you, then you can you go ahead and you do that.
So you're also a yoga teacher, aren't you?
I am.
And I won't try to pronounce it. So
Kundalini.
Kundalini. Kundalini yoga teacher.
I'm practicing to become one. I'm not yet certificated, but I do teach power yoga.
Okay. So firstly, let's talk about yoga.
Yes.
Because I think if we talk about yoga, and yoga's been around for a long, long time, I think most people think they know what yoga is.
Yeah.
And then if you can tell us what yoga actually is, and then what Kundalini yoga is.
Well, the power yoga that I teach is, it's kind of like an extension of exercise, but it really gives you, it's very mindful. So when you're actually doing yoga, I always thought that yoga was for old people and that it would be a far too slow exercise for me, because I was used to, you know, lifting heavy weights. I was training to do my bikini fitness contest. Mm-hmm. And I knew that if I was conditioning the muscles, I wanted to condition them. So I got myself into power yoga, and it very much, I didn't realise how much more it would add to my life. Like, not only am I really flexible now, I've also got a really strong mindset. Mm. It's brought so much more to my life. And when you look at somebody who is a yogi in their older years, they just look so healthy. They look so well. And what it does is it keeps you younger for longer. Mm. So if you take it up, it's kind of like you're in your midlife, maybe in your early 30s. Like, my daughter's now doing it and she's 15, and what it's brought to her at such a young age. And they say that children should be doing yoga at a young age.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it's quite interesting that lots of older people getting more sort of middle-aged, you know, 40s and 50s, yeah, are getting more into yoga now because they actually see the benefit of it, particularly as you age.
Because as you age, your muscles get smaller and they constrict, so you're going to feel tighter. So everything you do, whether it's getting up off the sofa, whether it's trying to do up your shoelace, it makes you feel old because you can't do the things that you used to do when you were younger. So then you start saying, oh, it's because I'm getting old. But actually, if you do the yoga, then that counteracts that. So it enables you to do all the things that you did when you were younger for longer. So then you don't think about growing older because you're still able to do some amazing things with your body.
So age just becomes a number then, doesn't it?
Most definitely.
So I think it's fair to say that with the running and with the giving up alcohol and the yoga and the positive mindset, you're in a much better place than you were 10, 12, 15 years ago.
I'm a completely different person. My life has gone from, you know, I just get stronger and stronger every day. It's like I see no lid to this. There's no over the hill. There's no, one of my mantras, my daily mantras is I get better as I get older. And I really do. Like, my life is just getting, I've got my granddaughter now and so many amazing things are happening for me in my life. I won some awards earlier this year. I never saw that, you know, a few years back. I would never have said that I would have ever gone into public speaking, you know, just to be here on this show. Mm. It's like a dream come true. It's like, how have I ever ended up here just because of my positive mindset?
And if you could see the beam on the beaming smile on Karen's face in the studio this morning, you'd know that that's a very, very genuine place. A very, you know, the happiness you've got is very genuine.
Yeah, I think so.
That's great. Let's just touch back on the alcohol for a moment, because as I mentioned in my piece, you know, we are coming up to the party season. Lots of people drink alcohol year round, but obviously there is an increase in alcohol consumption in the build up to Christmas. So what do you know personally about this link between alcohol and depression and also other health issues caused by alcohol?
Well, it was proved back in 1988 that alcohol is carcinogenic. Okay. And if you don't know what a carcinogenic is, it's having the potential to cause cancer. Mm-hmm. Having already lost three of my grandparents to cancer, then you'd say that there definitely is, like, you know, it's worrying to think that a drink that's supposed to bring you happiness, it's supposed to be the elixir of life, can cause such damage to the body. It's a depressant, so it's not going to make you happy. You think that a drink makes you happy, but it doesn't. It's the people and the situation that you're in at the time. The thought, it's a bit like taking the sugar pill, because you think that you're going to have a drink and you're going to be with your friends and it's all going to be very happy. Mm. Then you're tricking your mind into thinking that alcohol is the reason that you're happy. Mm. But it's just not the case, because it is a depressant. So yes. How can it make you happy if it's a depressant?
And people tend to find that the more they drink, the more resistant they become to the effects of alcohol, so therefore they need to drink more.
Yeah.
And then it's a slippery slope between drinking on a regular basis to become an alcohol dependent.
Yeah.
And then generally a slope down from alcohol dependency to alcoholism, which is obviously very, very serious.
Yeah, exactly. And if you just monitor how do you feel the day after you've been drinking, you're on a real come down, you're on a real low, and it takes, well, it was taking me a good few days to come out of that. I mean, when I did the bikini fitness training, I gave up drinking for 4 months because I knew it wasn't going to get me the body that I wanted to be able to step out on stage. I'd spend days recovering from drinking from alcohol. You know, when I go out sometimes when I've been drinking, I throw up on the way home. My mind thought that, oh, I've got to drink alcohol to have a good time with my friends, but my body knew better. It knows it's a toxin, and that's why I'd throw up all the time on my way home, because my body's trying to reject a poison. It's one of the most poisonous toxic substances on the planet, and we are drinking it as if it's water sometimes.
So is it fair to say that by not drinking alcohol there's lots of upsides? It has actually improved your life.
Oh my God.
Or would that be an understatement?
That's an understatement. I've saved money. I'm really focusing more on, you know, my studies for becoming a Kundalini yoga teacher, which is taking up a lot of my brain power at the moment, and I need to be sharp for that. It's showing my children that there's another way. I don't want them to think that you have to drink alcohol to have a good time. You don't need to have alcohol to have a good time. I'm still going out with my friends. My friends have been amazing. Mm-hmm. They support me wholly because I've talked to them. They know the reasons why I'm doing it. And we just go out and we still have fun. I'm dating. I'm doing stuff that, you know, nothing's changed in my life except that actually I cope with everything a lot better and I'm saving money. I mean, what more could you want?
So your choice of song, the Pharrell Williams song Happy, really does encompass your life.
Absolutely, 100%.
You can see
110%.
That. 110%. So coming up to the party season, obviously Christmas is coming up and New Year celebrations and what have you. If any listeners are concerned about their drinking or they're feeling perhaps depressed over the Christmas period or even into the New Year, what would you suggest? What would be your recommendations to try to help those people?
The number one thing, exercise, because your body was designed to move. And it's one of the reasons why if you're not moving your body, it gets depressed, it gets sad, and you get rewarded. That's why your body releases natural endorphins once you've exercised, because it's payback. It's giving you these happy endorphins to feel happy because you've actually done something that you were supposed to do with your body, and that is move it and exercise it. I mean, January is a great time to do Dry January. Mm-hmm. So, you know, already say to yourself, in January, I'm not going to drink for that month, and I'm going to use the time that I would spend drinking and the money that I would spend on finding a gym or finding an exercise that I love. Because if you love to exercise, if you find an exercise that you love, you'll want to keep
doing
it. You'll
stick to it, yeah.
And there's so many out there. I mean, it doesn't have to be exercise. It can be dance. That's still exercising. It can be doing self-defense classes. There's so many things. As long as you are moving your body, taking up running doesn't cost anything. Going for walks doesn't cost anything. There's so many things that you can go on YouTube. Now you can find loads of exercises on there. There's so many things that you can do if you are money short, and I've been in that situation, so I know.
And I think most towns have some sort of park run.
Yeah.
I know there's certainly one in Ashford that runs on a Saturday morning, so, you know, and it doesn't cost anything to join a park run.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, that's obviously a good way to get out there, to get that ball rolling, but also to socialise with people as well.
Yeah.
And there will be people on park runs that are of varying abilities.
Yep.
So you probably won't be the slowest one there.
And even if you are, you'll make friends.
Who cares?
Yeah. Well, that as well. And the fact that you'll be around like-minded people, you'll make new friends, and it'll be amazing. You know, if you lose friends because of alcohol, see ya.
Yeah.
Because you'll make a whole new set of friends. And also just the fact that, you know, use the time to read books, to knowledge yourself. Knowledge is power. So if you start reading up about facts of alcohol or why you should or shouldn't be drinking it, or just, you know, exercise, power of exercise. I mean, I started out reading self-help books, and look where I am now. So, yeah.
I think it's also worth just stating that if you are a casual drinker and you decide to have a dry January, you will probably not find it that difficult. If, however, you are a more regular or heavy drinker and you decide to do dry January, you may actually find it more difficult. So there are support mechanisms out there to help people who perhaps not just want to do a dry January, but want to cut down their alcohol consumption significantly. Alcohol is a drug. It's incredibly addictive. So if you do decide that you do want to do a dry January and you want some support, then there are people out there. And obviously, Karen is one of those people that I'm sure if you just make contact with
her
and wanted some advice and some support, she would help you.
And if I can give one massive tip, which has helped me massively, is that if you say to yourself that it's going to be easy, that's the experience that you're going to get. So if you tell yourself it's going to be easy for me to give up alcohol, then that's what you're going to expect. If you tell yourself it's going to be difficult, then what you resist persists, and you'll experience difficulties. So tell yourself it's going to be easy, and then support that by doing all the things that you need to do to give it up.
Brilliant. So what are your contact details, Karen? How can people get in touch with you?
My Happy You, Happy Body Facebook group, my Happy You, Happy Body Instagram, my website, which is www.happyyouhappybody.co.uk.
And on Facebook and on Instagram, as you mentioned, and your email address is hello at happyyouhappybody.co.uk.
That's it.
And I'll let you have one last plug of your book. Would you like to mention your book?
My Happy You, Happy Body book, 6 Easy Steps to Creating Your Happy Body. My 6 steps spell out mental, and it's mind, emotions, training. Hang on. Mind, emotions, nutrition, because it's 80% diet and only 20% exercise, training, attire and longevity. I finish with longevity, because why do we have to do all the healthy eating and the exercise? It's so that we can go on to live a happy, long, active life, because your health is your biggest wealth and 100% your responsibility.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for coming back on the show. It's been really interesting to learn about your journey since you were last here. I think there's some really good information there and some really good tips about how people can help themselves. And as I mentioned, if you'd like to get in contact with Karen, you can do so through her website, www.happyyouhappybody.co.uk. But thank you for coming on the show this morning, Karen. It's been great to have you on again.
Thank you for having me on, Neil. It's been lovely to be here.
After the break, we're going to have a quick chat about apple cider vinegar. But before then, we have a classic by Billy Joel, and it's Piano Man.
Shuffles in. There's an old man sitting next to me, making love to his tonic and gin. He says, son, can you play me a memory? I'm not really sure. Bar is a friend of mine. He gets me my drinks for free. And and he's quick with a joke or to light up your smoke, but there's some place that he'd rather be. Had time for a wife, and he's talking with David, who's still in the Navy and probably will be for life. And the waitress is practicing politics as the businessmen slowly get stoned.
You're listening to the Health Matters Radio Show with me, Neil De Silva, on Monday, the 10th of December. So before we wrap the show up, I just want to cover a piece about apple cider vinegar. Now, apple cider vinegar has kind of come back into popularity as a bit of a health tonic. And I'd like to go through some of the benefits of apple cider vinegar. But time has kind of crept up with us a little bit today. So what I'll do is I'll go through the main bulk of the benefits on next week's show. So be sure to tune in for next week's show. But apple cider vinegar, for those of you that don't know, is actually made from, funny enough, apple cider. But it's gone through a fermenting process that then creates all these enzymes and these probiotics, and it makes it a really useful health tonic. And it's actually lower in calories than cider, and obviously has far more health benefits. And actually, apple cider vinegar has been around for a long, long time. And in fact, Hippocrates is actually quoted as being as prescribing apple cider vinegar mixed with a bit of honey to help cure colds and coughs, and that goes back to ancient Greece. And actually, there are records that prove that we've been fermenting apple juice into vinegar since well before 5000 BC. So some of the health benefits of apple cider vinegar, and I will go into these in more detail on next week's show, are things like it helps to regulate blood sugar levels. So if you're a diabetic, type 2 diabetic, then it can help to actually regulate your blood sugar levels. But don't take apple cider vinegar unless you do it under medical supervision. If you're trying to lose weight, it can help you to lose weight. If you've got high cholesterol, particularly high LDL cholesterol, which is obviously the bad cholesterol, then apple cider vinegar can help reduce that. It can help to improve skin conditions, particularly acne. It can help reduce blood pressure. It can help with acid reflux. It can improve your gut health. It balances your pH of your body. It can help relieve cold symptoms. There are loads and loads of health benefits to apple cider vinegar. Now, what I will leave you with is, if you are going to try apple cider vinegar, you need to look out for the type that is cloudy, because there generally are two types of apple cider vinegar. There are the cloudy type, which has all the enzymes and the proteins and all kind of the goodness in it. And then you have the clear type, which has pretty much been filtered out, and all you're left with is just the vinegar without all the goodness that comes with all the proteins and the enzymes. But I will go into much more detail on next week's show, because as I say, time has caught up with us and we are about to wrap up the show. But if you'd like to contact me in the meantime, then please feel free to contact me via my website, which is www.inutrition-nutrition.co.uk. The show's Twitter feed is at Health Radio Show, and the Facebook page, if you search the Health Matters Radio Show, you can contact the show via Facebook. And as I mentioned, you can contact me direct if you'd like to. I'd like to thank Karen once more for coming on the show this morning. Thank you, Karen.
Thank you for having me.
And just a quick reminder of your website address.
It's www.happyyouhappybody.co.uk.
Fantastic. And if you'd like to come on the show, as Karen has done this morning, to talk about either your life, your experience, what you do and about your business, then please make contact with me via my website. So guests are wanted into the new year, so I'm taking bookings into January if you'd like to come on the show. And in the meantime, if you'd like to tweet in with any questions or just to make contact with me, then please feel free to do so. So after the last song, we have the Channel Radio News and Weather. So until the same time next week, when we will pick up on the topic of apple cider vinegar, until next week, stay happy, stay healthy, have a great week, and I will catch you next Monday.
The heart is a blue, shoots up through the stony ground. There's no room, no space to